crushing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
History is unfolding in front of all of us. It is Sunday, the 8th day of July, 2018. And as we are every Sunday, live from 4 to 6 p.m., we are here. And I am your host, and I'm very honored to be here. I intend to try to open the phones up for at least an hour and a half of the two-hour broadcast today because we're overwhelmed with news. And I don't know where to start, but I want to get your take on it. You know, I'm so captivated by the mind situation down in that cave in Thailand where they've got the divers going down trying to save the young people there with their coach. They've gotten now four out. Now it's nine out. Wow, that just broke minutes ago. They've only got a few more to get out, including their football coach. So that's certainly a very, very positive thing. But just the way it illustrates, if a little girl or a little boy is stuck down a well, or if miners are stuck in a mine collapse, or if people are captured underground, hemmed in by rising water from floods, our humanity comes out and we root for them and we project onto them that they are us. But if it's little babies getting aborted, or it's euthanizing old people, or its cancer rates going up because of glyphosate, it's like, so what about humanity? You know, it gets the highway moving. There's too many people. But this whole situation with the mine cave-ins we've seen and the gas explosions we've seen and little girls, little boys falling down wells, and now the situation in the cave, this illustrates to everybody the value of human life and that we're all in this together. And so they've already had one diver die. They've got other divers going down, two at a time, trying to get each child out who's got to then swim out in scuba gear in a cave full of mud and everything else out to the surface. And I was just reading about it today. I mean, I've been watching it the last 4 or 5 days, but I was actually really doing a deep dive, no pun intended, into what was now currently happening. And it just made my head spin because they are way, 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 way down there. And experienced military divers are having big problems. One's already died. And so that's why they tried to abandon that process when one diver died trying to get down to them and said, well, let's just wait. But they can't because another monsoon's hit, another big rain, as they call it, the Pacific, a monsoon, a turd floater is what we call it in Texas. So you got this huge storm happening and the water's going back up. And so they're having to send people down into this cave, reportedly almost a mile in, to then try to get these people out. It is just crazy. And they're inside a big cavern up on the top of a pinnacle of a rock. You ever been inside any of the big caverns here in the U.S., Mammoth Cave or Carlsbad Caverns or others? There's these huge amphitheater style, you know, 10-story tall, huge caverns. And you can see those big pinnacles, those big rocks up at the top. They are perched up there with the water rising beyond some Hollywood movie. So you see with all that's happening, it makes us think about our own planet and where we are and the fact that humanity is all in this together and that valuing human life is certainly where it's all at. So we're going to be looking at all that today. The mainstream media has had a big heyday. They have come out and said, Jones said it was the end of the world on Wednesday, but it didn't end because I said the Democrats were calling for civil war. They've been escalating their soft civil war. And I see that as a demarcation line of when they plan throughout the summer to ramp things up. That's what I said. It was very clear. But they use the fact that I said Mark July 4th is when they're going to attempt to launch this. And then when the hoax that they pushed didn't appear, they say I'm discredited. It's simply amazing, even though attacks against conservatives, libertarians, and Christians went into overdrive, as you know, the last 4 days. We'll chronicle all of that straight ahead.
Hey,
day of July 2018. I'm Alex Jones.
This is the heart of 1776. You're a new white male!
It's also what happens when you listen to the radio host, Alex Jones.
Move, bitch! Get out the way!
We pledge allegiance to one flag, and that flag is the American flag.
InfoWars helped fuel the rumor that President Obama is an ISIS supporter.
It's been a cozy relationship from the beginning.
I will not let you down. You'll be very, very impressed, I hope. And I think we'll be speaking a lot.
Donald Trump and Alex Jones.
This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
Waging war on corruption. It's
Alex Jones.
Well, Hillary is looking to run again in 2020. We're going to be looking at that. Trump is set to announce a Supreme Court pick very, very quickly ahead of the midterms. We've got the cave-in and the whole situation with the floods in Thailand and what's unfolding there, and China saying they're basically already at war with the U.S. It's all coming up. But first, Trump's got Mueller in his sights for covering up 9/11. Here's a breakdown of it all.
Almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Well, when I first looked at it, I couldn't believe it because there was a hole in the steel. And this is steel that was, you remember the width of the windows of the World Trade Center, folks? I think, you know, if you were ever up there, they were quite narrow. And in between was this heavy steel. I said, how could a plane, even a 767 or a 747 or whatever it might have been, how could it possibly go through the steel? I happen to think that they had not only a plane, but they had bombs that exploded almost simultaneously, because I just can't imagine anything being able to go through that wall.
In the case of the FBI's involvement immediately post 9/11, there were these chartered flights by Saudi royals and members of the bin Laden family that left places like Las Vegas, where they were holed up in some of their hotels waiting for the dust to settle. There are these, a plane load, literally, of Saudis and other folks associated with the bin Laden family that left on this charter flight. Well, as someone who's actually done legal traveler debriefings and even talking to folks who have been refugees or emigres from other countries, those Saudis are precisely the sort of people who should have been debriefed at length by the FBI and, frankly, other intelligence services as well, to build that network and to outline who knew who and what the associations were. Absolutely critical immediately following 9/11. And so was that done? The answer is no. And so this kid glove treatment was given, and I hang that directly around the neck of Mr. Mueller. That's a really disgraceful failure immediately after 9/11, because we know that these people had contacts and friends of friends and those sorts of things. It all should have been exploited, and it wasn't.
The government wants to be in charge. I mean, when Reagan said we're a country with a government, I think we're now a government with a country. And that's, and all of the things that are happening are only tightening that control on the people. They're going to manipulate them and keep, as long as they can keep them uninformed and nobody realizes what's going on, or they don't see the threat. If they say, you have nothing, if you've done nothing wrong, you have nothing to hide. First of all, that's a great quote from Joseph Goebbels. And secondly, that's totally irrelevant.
If we had had this program in place at the time, we would have been able to identify that particular telephone number in San Diego.
I'm almost out of time.
I understand, but I ask indulgence just to finish because it's a critical point as to why we have this program and how important it is.
All right.
If we had the telephone number from Yemen, we would have matched it up to that telephone number in San Diego, got further legal process, identified Al-Mihdhar. One last point. The 9/11 Commission itself indicated that investigations or interrogations of Al-Mihdhar, once he was identified, could have yielded evidence of connections to other participants in the 9/11 plot. The simple fact of their detention could have derailed the plan. In any case, the opportunity was not there.
Well,
if we had had this program, that opportunity would have been there.
Who is Special Counsel Robert Mueller? Is he the upstanding career law enforcement officer, as the establishment would lead you to believe? Or is Robert Mueller a dirty fix-it man for the corrupt authoritarians lurking behind the D.C. power structure? After well over a year now of enduring the tainting of the executive office with a DNC-funded bogus investigation, President Trump is revisiting concerns he made about 9/11 during his candidacy.
Obviously, the war in Iraq was a big, fat mistake, all right? Now, you can take it any way you want, and it took Jeb Bush, if you remember, at the beginning of his announcement, when he announced for president, took him 5 days. He went back. It was a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. Took him 5 days before his people told him what to say, and he ultimately said it was a mistake.
The gall to go after
the World Trade Center came
he
down
had
during
the gall
your brother's
to go after
reign.
My mother.
Remember that.
Hold on. Let me finish. The gall to go after my mother.
That's not keeping
us safe.
Look,
I won the lottery when I was born 63 years ago and looked up and I saw my mom. My mom is the strongest woman I know.
She should be running.
Trump wants the deep state to know that the gloves are off. He's going to war. He was always going to release this later on you anyways. Bush's, Clinton's, criminal elements, the CIA, all of you. This is just the beginning with Mueller's cover-up. This is the piece of string on the sweater that pulls the whole sweater apart. It's beginning.
It was Mueller that signed off on hindering the investigations launched by the families of victims of 9/11.
Huge body of evidence that Saudi government officials prepared for the hijackers' arrival, helped them, got them money, English lessons.
That's right. Mueller and the FBI helped them.
And provided the aid.
They didn't need more surveillance. They protected them.
Impossible, according to the FBI agents who were working the case, for the terrorists to succeed. And President Bush and Director Mueller, instead of,
and by the way, Trump's looking at letting the FBI go public,
the whole story, quashed it. Interrogations were shut down. Documents have been kept secret. And the reason we are here and our plea,
Mueller,
the family's plea,
ran Epstein as a blackmail operative,
Trump, is to declassify the documents.
People need to know more about Mr. Mueller. He is not the white knight that Lindsey Graham and others in the mainstream media have portrayed. His role during and after the 9/11 matter needs to be examined.
It was Mueller that acted as a counter-crime boss during the Whitey Bulger court drama.
And Mueller, just like Whitey Bulger, could kill whoever he wanted, killed reportedly over 100 people, run mafia operations in Boston, assassinate members of other mafias that the FBI wanted taken out. The FBI was operating as a gang in Boston.
Robert Fitzpatrick is seen here leaving federal court this afternoon after changing his plea to guilty on a 12-count indictment for perjury and obstruction of justice. The former assistant special agent in charge of the FBI's Boston office, who was in charge of the organized crime program, testified for the defense 3 years ago in the trial of James Whitey Bulger. At the time, Fitzpatrick made at least six false claims on the witness stand.
It was Mueller that allowed pedo Jeffrey Epstein to serve minimum sentencing for overseeing a sex exploitation ring of underage females that should have easily implicated several high-profile individuals. Instead, the FBI worked a deal with Epstein as an informant and then buried the investigation. And wouldn't it be interesting if it's none other than Mueller now conjuring up dirt on one of his toughest critics, Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan.
New story from NBCNews.com about some allegations involving Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio. Three former wrestlers at Ohio State University are accusing him of turning a blind eye to sexual abuse when he was a coach at the school.
That he turned a blind eye to sexual abuse while working as a wrestling coach at Ohio State University.
Yeah. You've seen the reports in recent days. Your reaction first to all of this?
It's false. I mean, I never saw, never heard of, never was told about any type of abuse.
John Bound reporting for Infowars.com.
Meanwhile, Mueller ran the aircraft with the kidnapped children. To live. capitalism. That's what it's all about. Anti-human, anti-prosperity, anti-future. Absolutely draconian and dystopic, and we oppose it. All right, coming up, is Hillary Clinton secretly planning to run in 2020? That's just 2 years away. We're going to look at that coming up. Announcement of Trump's Supreme Court choice nears. We're going to be looking at that. Inside Pompeo's fraught North Korea visit. Lifelong Democrat lawmaker vows to support Trump. Only Republicans until Dems return to sanity and honesty. The whole hashtag just walk away movement gained steam. And I believe it's a real movement because I see it on the ground where Democrats come up to me, black, white, Hispanic, old, young, Asian, you name it. And they say, I used to be a Democrat, but I can see the corruption. I can see the anti-Americanism. I can see the anti-free speech. These people are crazy. I'm a Republican now. Well, I was never a Republican or a Democrat, but we've taken over the Republican Party, at least partially, kicked the blue bloods out. But the Democrats, you've got something even worse. So, yes, we're trying to make America great again right now, and it's very, very, very exciting. Now, that said, if you just tuned in, I played a compilation of the news reports about the incredible corruption of the special counsel appointed by the president, Mr. Rosenstein. The president doesn't matter. We elect it. The real president's Rosenstein. And then his puppet that follows his orders, Jeff Sessions. And so they're coming out saying all this dirt's coming out, all this proof of Russiagate, all this corruption, blah, blah, blah. But of course, none of it's ever there. Meanwhile, we have them all caught red-handed in their own texts, their own messages, their own payments, Hillary giving McCabe's wife a half million, wives of husbands at the FBI creating the fake Pissgate dossier, getting millions. It is incredible. And you've got Giuliani and others coming out saying that Mueller is leading the most corrupt investigation he's ever seen. Well, there might have been corrupt investigations before, but this is the most transparent, the most out-in-the-open corruption. Because what do they think is going to happen? Anybody who can rub two brain cells together knows this is political and knows it's a fraud and knows that Trump's not in bed with the Russians and is pro-America. So where do they go after this? We'll talk about it, but first, here's a clip.
Reality is that there are biases that have to be explored surrounding Mueller. How you could end up hiring a group of people that are as prejudiced and biased as this group, in their record at least, is extraordinary. And then how you can expect us to just walk up our client like a lamb going to the slaughter? We wouldn't be lawyers if we were doing that. George, he wants to testify. He believes.
Well, it's hard to believe that anymore, Mr. Mayor.
Well, it is hard to believe, given all the things that have been shown about how tainted this investigation is. This is the most corrupt investigation I have ever seen that the Justice Department is allowing to go forward. I've never seen an investigation with techs from FBI agents, now seven of them, that have such extraordinary bias against the person.
Who's predated Robert Mueller.
That's the investigation he inherited, with a lot of the testimony that he inherited. And then he went ahead and didn't do anything to purge himself of that.
He fired him.
He fired him after somebody else found out. Well, how about looking at the texts of all of his people? Does his number two guy, his number three guy, his number four guy have similar texts in which they're talking about how much they hate Trump? I don't know.
And you've got Stephanopoulos, the operative of the Clintons, sitting there acting like he's all impartial. Robert Mueller and that whole operation continued on what the Justice Department had set up. And they were continuing what had been set up to stop Trump during the campaign to cover their ass, because now their job was twofold, not just try to keep Trump from getting in office or keep Trump from getting elected before that or kick Trump out of office later. It was cover up Spygate and make Spygate Russiagate, that they had thought that Hillary would win and that they could then try to cover that up by a new investigation used as a smokescreen. So here's Rudy Giuliani, the president's lawyer, breaking that down, saying Mueller needs to provide factual basis to interview the president. I've told you for over a year, he shouldn't talk to Mueller. He shouldn't talk to any of these crooks. They're jokes. He could fire all of them. It's the executive branch. But they created this idea in the media that, oh, you don't follow Mueller. He's our president. We elected him. And the president's probably intelligently just left him there, letting him rot. But they get more and more and more desperate. So here's the president's lawyer.
All right. Well, you had said that the 4th of July was basically a deadline of sorts for you to determine whether or not you would recommend President Trump sit down with Robert Mueller. It is now past the 4th of July. Where do we stand?
Well, I think we're pretty much decided where we are, and we await the decision of the independent counsel. We would not recommend an interview for the president unless they can satisfy us that there's some basis for this investigation. It's our firm belief, and we think nothing contradicts this, that the president did nothing wrong. And all the leaking that's gone on, there's been no leak of any fact that says the president conspired with anybody in Russia. I know from having been on the campaign that there was no contact with Russians, no discussion with Russians. So we've got to see something. I mean, something started this investigation. I don't just investigate my next door neighbor because I think he may be committing a crime. I've got to, in order to get an investigation going, I've got to give the police or the FBI some kind of probable cause. And there isn't any. And when we've asked them for it, going back to John Dowd, they've given us nothing. And I think you can see John's opinion now is very much like ours, that the president shouldn't be interviewed because John has unfortunately come to the conclusion that this is a witch hunt and an attempt to trap him in perjury.
We just had, introduced our segment, we had the Senate Intelligence Committee. They come out with their first conclusion. They've got more to come when it comes to collusion. They haven't made a determination on the collusion aspect of things. But it's a fact in their minds that Russia interfered and attempted to help the president. How is that not a compelling enough reason for Mr. Mueller to want to question the president?
Well, because there's no evidence that links the president to that. That's a heck of a thing people can have all kinds of motives.
Yeah, let's stop right there.
How do you know that?
You've got 170 plus countries. During any big campaign, there's all sorts of companies and bots and internet companies you can hire to do stuff. Turn out 80% of the bots out of Russia were for Hillary. So again, that's a red herring too. But you've got Chuck Todd, the Democratic Party operative, the butt boy of Obama, up there going, well, Mueller says this, well, Mueller said that. They don't like the election of Trump. These people sold us out to Russia with Uranium-1 and Communist China. Trump's America first. You can see the country coming back. And that's the big problem they've got is the country's coming back. People know the truth, and that's why they're so angry. That's why they're so upset. That's why they don't know what to do. Because these are the anti-Americans. They're the guys on tape saying, fly over country. We hate gun owners. We hate Christians. All this crap. And all these Democratic Party people they've got running for office that like are running against white people. It's the opposite of Martin Luther King. It's incredible. So, wow. Okay, when we come back, China, you know, 400 million people, they say they're already at war with the U.S., and they love Hillary, and they love Chuck Todd, and they hate you.
We are on the march. The empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
If you like to gamble, I tell you I'm your man. You win some, lose some, and do the same to me. The pleasure is to play. Ain't no difference what you say.
Drugged out. We are following other people's opinions. We are controlled by the media. Today, it all changes. This reality has been forced upon us. It is a choice, just like when I said slavery is a choice. Einstein says the definite of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So we keep on saying, I hate you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. How are we gonna get a different result out of hate? Why don't we just try love? Why don't we just try love? We have the resources for a peaceful world. You know, sometimes you need some crazy motherfuckers to change something. Steve Jobs is crazy. Now we all on Steve Jobs' phones. They say Trump's crazy. They say I'm crazy. But I'm here to show love. It's a bigger plan, and I'm just doing what the universe told me.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
For me, it's totally insane that Hillary Clinton is still sending out emails to her constituents, to her zombie-like supporters, implying that she's the leader of the Democratic Party and that she might even run coming up in about the next year, because that's when the campaign starts, is about 2 years out, year and a half out, that she might even run for president against Trump again. But then I pull back and I go, wait a minute. She ran before when she'd had a brain tumor, when she'd been in the hospital for a year, when she was having convulsions all the time. We were told by the Secret Service at the RNC, just follow her. She's got a black ambulance. She's having convulsions every 45 minutes when she's not on her drugs. They got to take her off the drugs so she can even talk. But then, because she's off the drugs that suppress your neurons, that suppress brain activity, she then has the convulsions. And she can either take a bunch of pills or drink a bottle of whiskey and not have convulsions, but then she's not on. So to be on, she's got to get sober. Imagine the hell of that. She gets sober a few hours a day. They roll her out. They've got to have emergency tents all around her. We caught her, Millie Weaver, caught her getting rushed into an emergency tent 2 weeks before she collapsed in New York. And you look at her emails, the New York Post reports on it. She's telling her constituents she's the leader of the Democratic Party. I guess a close second's Maxine Waters and that lunatic Nancy Pelosi. And I nothing against women. I'd love to have a woman president, but she's got to be pro-America, pro-free market, not these crazy, entitled, never had a free market job, run around, try to create culture war, sex war, race war. Good God. It just boggles the mind. But you say, well, that's crazy. She'd never run. Everybody hates her. She's been rejected. She was co-governor in Arkansas. She was co-president with Bill Clinton for 8 years. Under Obama, they admitted that she was basically co-president, running the State Department. That's just as important as the presidency itself if the president isn't involved. So she was in four terms. You ever heard of anybody, not even Roosevelt, what he died at the beginning of his fourth term? Or was it the end of his third? I forget. Can we look that up? How many terms did Roosevelt serve? I think he died at the end of the third, but he'd won a fourth. So Hillary has served more terms as deputy president, or co-president is the word. Even the Washington Post admits it. Look at that. So it just never ends. And you said to yourself, this crazy woman, this corrupt person that her own party doesn't like, it doesn't matter. She still runs it. She's got that foundation with the billions of dollars she's milked. There it is, CNN reporting. Another run. Hillary Clinton tries again. God. We are going to take back the country. We love Hillary Clinton. This woman in tapes that have been linked, that have been leaked out, hates America. So you got to ask yourself, where is the end of this? I'm going to open the phones up to talk about this and other big issues. The toll-free number to join us on any issue you want to discuss. But I just want you to be first-time callers. Please be honest about that and have a good telephone. I want to talk to you. I really love you to call 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Democrats announcing civil war, and then, you know, Rob Reiner, Michael Moore, Bill Maher, all of them. And then I go, oh, look, they say we're in a civil war. You crazy person. There's no civil war. You crazy right-wing son of a bastard. Okay, we're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss all of it at 877-789-2539. But I know we're taking control of our government again. I know we're taking control of our republic again. And that's what's exciting to me. Now, this subject is really big. And I don't say this to be dramatic, because I know the White House and the president are quietly trying to fix this because they don't want to rattle confidence and they don't want to sound too extreme because reality is so extreme. But in my own concern, I've reached out to some folks and said, should I say all this? Because it's what I really think, but I don't want to like rattle the confidence in the country. And you know, I don't hold back on stuff, but I don't want to really go with my hardcore info. And I've been told by high-level folks, they go, no, you're dead on, fire at will. And people say, oh, my God, you're this government shill. You've always been against the government. Because our government was run by foreign banks. We see a beachhead. Our government partially controlled by American patriots now. So I'm proud to say that I'm reaching out to smart people and trying to coordinate somehow. Hell, you know the Democrats are coordinating. And I've said, listen, I can see the Office of Personnel Management hack our entire government database, all our operatives overseas, domestically, their families, our codes, our shields, everything. Yeah, you're right. It was done on purpose. I see the industrial sellout of everything, which they admit's on purpose. Yeah, you're right. I see it all. What do we do to turn this around? And the answer I get back is, well, what do you think we do? I mean, I think we have to admit how far we've slid. And I think it's really the Achilles heel of the globalist, that if we just detail how we got infiltrated and what happened and turn it around, people will listen and take action, because it's the truth. And you know, I'm not Machiavelli, man. I can see into Machiavelli systems, but I'm a straight shooter. I've always found that's what feels good in my gut. It's what works. It's just who I am. You know, they think I'm a schmuck because I'm a straight shooter. You know what? Straight shooting is the fourth, fifth dimensional chess everybody talks about. Everybody just keeps thinking being a BSer works. Only when you've got an honorable society that trusts a few traitors and doesn't know they're against them. Just because cancer spreads through the body doesn't mean it's dominant. Just because you guys cheat doesn't mean like, oh, we must all do that. That's how you collapse a civilization. It's how you collapse a planet. So when we come back, I'm going to lay out the facts here just as best as I can tell you about what we face, who our enemies are, and what we're up against. And it's bad. I mean, we are like way behind, actually. The fact that you think Trump's in there and everything, and the way everybody's against Trump, who are these followers? God, they ought to be praying Trump succeeds. They're just such pathetic followers, though. And it's not the followers' fault that they did this. It's our fault as leaders that we didn't see the problem and face it. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Clinton is sending out feelers to her supporters via email. The New York Post is reporting it, considering and testing a 2020 run. Well, of course she is. Even if she doesn't run, she wants to keep getting those campaign contributions, that money, into her corrupt money laundering operation known as her foundation. So it's totally sick, and it just shows how delusional and disconnected from reality the establishment is. But if we buy into their hoax, well, then it's our fault, isn't it? We're going to start the next hour here in about 10 minutes and go to already loaded phone lines. I may even get to some during this segment, but if you just joined us, I remember back under the Clintons how they were selling out our missile secrets for our intercontinental ballistic missiles to communist China. And I remember myself and Washington Times writers and others, Drudge, you name it, were reporting on the Clintons with communist Chinese generals in the White House and all of it, and the sellout by Loral Hughes to them with MIRV technology. That's the reentry device. It's one thing to put a missile up into orbit. Another thing to get it going, its trajectory over from China over the North Pole to the U.S. But it's another thing to get it to come back into the atmosphere and have the nose cone pop open and have, you know, a dozen dummy warheads and maybe a dozen other real warheads so that when they try to shoot those down, they don't get them all. That's multiple reentry device, MERV technology. So from the boost, the first stage boost, second stage boost, reentry to MERV technology, the Clintonistas gave them everything. Like they gave them our jobs, our businesses, our industry, our security codes, the Panama Canal, all the major deep water ports. Hillary is a globalist operative put in there to do that. And then the media spun it. Are attacks on China anti-Asian? No, it's China under Mao that killed 84 million of their own people, according to the Chinese communist. CIA says 65 million. It's their own system that sells political dissidents' organs. So when you talk about 1,500,000,000 people, genetically the same, but oppressed by the communist elite, there's not the racism there. There's the classism of the party, where there is no class, pun intended, under communism. And so they're doing all this, and the communist Chinese come out in Bloomberg and the Sunday Express. And I've got the articles right here. Let's do a camera shot of that. Saying, we're already at war with the United States. We're already economically, you read the leaked memos that the PLA put out on purpose, and they say we've already got their industry, we've already got the rare earth minerals, 98%. We already got our military under these companies as front people in all these nations. We're ready to cut the U.S. off economically. We're ready to foment economic warfare and cultural warfare inside America, and we're ready to bring the U.S. down. And man, it's in the news that China now controls Hollywood. China has a $900 billion trade deficit with us. And Trump says a year ago, give us $50 billion to just show you have some sign. China, you're investing $24 billion a year in us. We invest $900 billion in you. I want to see some Chinese factories in the U.S. Show me something. Over a year ago, he met with them in Mar-a-Lago. And the communist Chinese dictator, he's a dictator. He wasn't elected by the people. He said, we're going to war with you. And we've built all these artificial islands and we'll invade the South China Sea and we'll take over all these different areas right where the Japanese did. Philippines, you name it. I mean, this is crazy. And if you study geopolitical systems, everything done to America since the 70s by the policy wonks, presidents are mainly puppets until Trump came along, has been 100% strategically to shell the United States out. Yeah, there's the Guardian, dictator for life. They have debates about whether he's a dictator. The Politburo and the Central Committee vote, a couple hundred people that are all billionaire communists, and then they put the asshole in there. Excuse me, delete that, delay that. I mean, he's beyond the name I just called him. He's a mass murderer, and he's taking China back to where Mao had it. So, you read this, U.S. and China have bigger problems than trade war, Bloomberg, and it gets into the military war. China's military reforms to win a war. But you actually read the memo I read last Friday, and it says, we're already winning, we've already encircled them, we already control their people, they're all divided, Americans are weak. So when you sit there and you see a Democrat, or you see a leftist that hates flyover country, or hates Christians, or hates Trump, Trump could be criticized for only asking China, I hate to use a vulgar analogy, but when they work, you've got to use them. You know, Full Metal Jacket, and you've got Sergeant Hartman talking to him, and he says, you're the type of guy that'll do something to the other guy and not even give him a reach around. I mean, all Trump did was ask for a reach around. And China said, no, man, you're going to give us everything, dirtbag Americans, and you're going to get nothing back. That's Trump's like, okay, there's a 290% tariff on all dairy to Canada for 30-something years? Hundreds of billions? No. And Canada's so used to us being on our back or on our knees, they start flipping out going, we got trannies, we're for gays. And Trump goes, okay, great, I understand that. What about the 200%+ tariff on dairy? And then our own media gangs up like Trump's bad. So let me explain. I go into a business deal And you tell me, you get everything, I get nothing, even though I hold all the cards. And that's the thing about Trump. He's just not anti-American, psychotically anti-American. How did we ever get an elite that did this? Because America had 55% of the wealth in 1952. Look it up. And these elites went, my God, we can parlay this into total control. But to get people to go along with it, we've got to create an anti-American ideology. We've got to get people to signal they're traitors and be anti-American so we can trust them to do this. Because, you know, you got to really be a scumbag to want to bankrupt your granddaddy that's a farmer. Or to want to hurt steel workers in Cleveland. Or to just have a raging you-know-what to screw America. But that's what the colleges and the schools, and it's just all like, you know, wow, we were so close, and we're probably like a patient that kind of rallies in surgery but still dies. I've had family, I've been there when they rally in a surgery, and actually they come back for a day and then die right after. They rally, and then they die. And I don't want to be a negative person here, but I'm not a cult member like Oprah Winfrey that's like the secret, just be positive. I think America's rallying before its death. I'm just going to be honest. I think we're going to die. I think we're going to implode and be totally poor, and I think it's all going to be over. So I think we're evil. We've aborted 50 million babies, and the average person doesn't want it. God is all about justice. And I don't think we deserve Trump. I don't think we deserve to turn the country around. I don't think we, that, because here's the thing. Those of us that are self-sufficient will be okay in a total collapse. It'll be rough, but we'll make it. Most of us. But what about all the scum and all the backstabbers and all the pedophiles and all the... No, they are going to kill each other. So I'm hoping we fix things. I'm working for it, but I'm not worried one bit. Because the type of people that want to suck on Hillary Clinton's wart-covered feet culturally and want to do all this, if you guys don't want this when we tried to fix it, then have at it, man. Have what you want. Because the communist Chinese already basically run the universities. It's in the news. They run Hollywood. We're overrun. And in the 11th hour, 58th minute, we have some chance to turn it around, and the average American doesn't rally to do that? Shame on you! Because that's what we're facing. I just know this. The Chi-Coms won't make it out of this, and neither will the EU or the Vatican. You're all going to go down. Oh, that's the little... Oh, I forgot the best part. I metaphysically know that America is going to go down just like you are. And so we're going to pull all of you with us, and there are going to be overthrows of the communist Chinese, and maybe that'll be a free country after this. But I know that when America goes down like the Alamo, it signifies the defeat of the Chi-Coms and the EU and the globalists and everyone else. So don't celebrate your victory too long. Don't celebrate your victory, because from hell's gate I spit at you with my last breath. I want you to go down, you pedophile, devil-worshipping trash that want to control our will. Now, there's still a chance for humanity to awaken, turn this around, but if we're not serious, I can see where we're going. Trump will fail, America will fall, then we'll have global war.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
You know, they say that hindsight is 20/20. Now, I know exactly what happened. I was told what happened with Trump 2 years before he ran for office, when patriots of the Pentagon were seriously considering a coup against Obama because he gave all our codes to communist China, all our personnel to communist China in the Office of Personnel Management hack. And I was told all this and didn't know if it was true or not. And years later, even Politico halfway reported what had happened. But here's what I have to say. Trump is on a suicide mission. Now, a suicide mission doesn't mean you die every time. But you die about 30-40% of the time. Like, you only go on a couple suicide missions. And that's what it is to be on a suicide squad. But you go on a suicide squad because you realize you're going to lose everything anyways, if you don't make it. Just like the divers in Thailand with the flooded cave, who've already gotten 9 of the children out, and the divers died and others, and they got to go through almost a mile of flooded cave, and they got to take kids, 10, 11, 12 years old, in scuba, who aren't certified, and take them through that hell. Think about that. That's the same thing. Trump is a Suicide Squad leader. That's why he's so confident. That's why he's so committed. Our code's gone. Our secrets all sold out. Our country deindustrialized. And then finally they were going to ban free speech and start arresting people. And enough folks in the government and in private sector and in the general citizenry said, we're not doing this. God Almighty, we were America. We didn't believe the John Birch Society and Ron Paul and Alex Jones and Barry Goldwater and everybody else. We didn't believe them. It sounded so crazy. But we're being given orders to prepare for gun confiscation and for war against Christians and war against constitutionalists. A, we don't want to do that. B, they're armed to the damn teeth. These are millions of veterans. That's a death sentence. Those are our brothers and sisters, people we know, the folks that volunteer and give blood, the people that are at the homeless shelters. We're being trained to have war with them. So a group of generals came to Trump, as I first told you, 2.5 years ago, and now it's been confirmed, and said, this is what we're laying out. We don't know what to do. What do you think? You're popular. We know your background. We know about your dad. We know about all you funding the John Birch Society behind the scenes. What do you think we should do? And he said, let me talk to my wife. And he went and spent 3 months in Scotland and decided not to do it. And then Melania came to him on the last day, and she said, she'd seen what they were doing on the news to people. She said, you have to do it. He said, I don't want to put the family through this, but he said, she said, you have to. And he understood the challenge. He said, yeah, I can't not do this. And we can't not do this. It's the same thing I deal with every day. But communist China, allied with the big banks, has totally sold the country out. And they engage in every crime you can imagine, and they're trying to sabotage the economy. And the biggest frustration is looking at the average person that goes along with this anti-Americanism, and they don't realize they're opening the gates up to their sure and absolute destruction. And you look at how communist China has abused their own people, and you just ask yourself, is this the way it needs to be? And I'm telling you, even though we think we're winning and we see good things coming back to the U.S., there's such institutional powers behind this and such an evil commitment to stop human development and human potential that I cannot lie to anybody. It's not my job here to lie to you. I think we're neck and neck. I think it's up in the air whether America and the world makes it. And you need to understand that. But to all of you out there that serve evil, I have no idea how you could be so blind and so committed to darkness. I just cannot even begin to understand it. You're just such traitors to your own family and your own free will, but you love your father, the devil. So that's why you do it. It should be so easy to win against evil, but see, good men do nothing. So it's hard. It's always hard.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Well, Trump is set to announce his new Supreme Court pick in the next few days. We'll be covering it. China's military admits they're already in a war with the U.S. They've got the media and everybody, basically, it's China. China's the main engine. It was the plan. The CFR said it was the Chinese century. Well, it's not the Chinese century. It's the globalist communist century feeding off the poor Chinese to empower their whole operation. Because Americans, on average, are intuitive and smart and hardworking. But the Chinese are intuitive, smart, and hardworking as well, but they're enslaved. So it is definitely a power slave scenario. I want to go to Antoine, Robert, Dennis, Robert, Patrick, George, Alexander, Craig, Tony, Brandon, Eric, and others. Eric in Michigan, Eric in the great state of Michigan, you are back on the air or calling in on the show. Welcome. Go ahead. You on the air, Eric. Go ahead.
Brainwashed zombies.
Go ahead and start over. They didn't get to you right away, or I went to the end of the call, so they missed it. Let's just start over. Go ahead.
Alex, I just wanted to kind of touch base on when you brought up, you know, to call in as a first-time caller. You were going on about Hillary and how she's going to try to possibly run for 2020 and sending out emails and to her supporters and followers. And yeah. I think it's absolutely ludicrous. I mean, we all know she's crooked as, you know, she's more crooked than anybody's front tooth I've ever seen. And
she's crookeder than a dog's back leg.
You know it. You know, but anyway... You know, so we'll see. You'll see. You know, we'll see how that plays out. I mean, if she does, it's going to be a
well. The thing is, she's definitely raising money for it. She says she's telling her constituents, "Get ready." That it shows the arrogance, though. Like it just shows how disconnected from history they are.
And the crazy thing is, she doesn't give a damn about the people or any, excuse my French, or anything, you know, that has to do with America or the constituents that live in this country or even the people that vote for her. I mean, at the end of the day, they're just thrown to the wolves, you know, if she's in office. So, you know, I'm thankful to be in Trump's America. I'm glad we were able to pull it off. And, you know,
I agree with you. But I've got an article here out of the Oregon Live. Organizers of pro-gun rallies lament low turnout. And that's what's happening. A lot of patriots, conservative Christians, pro-gunners think we're winning. Yes, we're in a war. We've won some battles. And I don't want to use the North versus South analogy, but it's kind of like the South winning battles early on. Let me tell you something. The globalists are coming down like a ton of bricks, brother. And so I'm just telling people that we woke up the enemy. And I think we will win. But if people don't get that, we're in the fight of our lives. Getting Trump elected was like landing at Normandy. When we landed at Normandy, you know, in 1943, did that mean we'd beat Hitler?
No. Lots of gunshed still at that point. But, you know, it's an uphill battle, you know, and I'm willing to fight it every step of the way. I think we really need to come together.
I agree with you. What do you think of the 133 attacks the last week or so and all these attacks on conservatives? I mean, physical attacks, trying to kill people. I mean, the left is clearly launching an intimidation campaign. I think it's going to backfire.
It's totally going to backfire. I can't recall her name, but the lady that was part of Trump's cabinet that was at that restaurant up in Virginia that got kicked out the other week. You know,
Huckabee Sanders.
Right. And Maxine Waters is totally stirring the pot, you know, on that side of the stick, you know, telling them, oh, shut them out of restaurants, out of gas stations, this, that, the other. You know,
how do they think that makes somebody give up on their political views? Most people are just busy. But if you like try to kick me out of a restaurant, that everybody I know, that makes them get angry, right?
Right. And I don't care if it's my favorite Philly cheesesteak restaurant on the planet. If they're going to kick me out for my, you know, right of opinion, I'm not going to support them anymore. So chances are they're going to go out of business. So honestly,
well, that's the point, Eric, is it doesn't make you give up your political views. It doesn't make you back down. It emboldens you. So they think we're like them, a bunch of peer pressure wimps. God bless you. Okay. I went to the bottom of the calls. That may have confused the folks clicking the calls because I could punch my own buttons, but I have them doing it in there. So we're going to go to another call. Who should we go to here? Who should we go to next? Let's talk to Brandon in Texas. He says he wants to talk about my predictions and Endgame. Brandon, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Oh, thank you, Alex. I'm a long time listener, first time caller.
Welcome.
And can you hear me okay? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you really good.
Okay, great. Well, I went to Crockett High School in the early 90s, man. I want everybody that's listening to you to know that you have been calling it out since day one. Your motives have never shifted. You're like Ron Paul. You're like a rock, right? Now, that's integrity. You're a real man, and that's not a cool thing these days. I get that. But you know, you red-pilled me way back with Endgame, a blueprint for global enslavement. And when I say red-pill, I mean pregnolone, brother. You put me down for like 7 days. I was just almost straight-up depressed, right? But I researched all the history in that movie. You're on point. everything that's unfolded in this day-to-day bullshit. I'm not a political person, but I have become a political person because these things are unfolding day by day, just like you said they would, and now they're to the surface like a big fucking bit. Oh, whoops. I didn't mean to say that.
We're going to let you go, but I appreciate your call. We can't have cussing because we got to delay it once. You cuss again, we got to let you go. But that's the thing, is I'm not that smart. The globalists have all written their battle plans. They're carrying them out. They're anti-human. We need to be aware of it. And then you need to make a decision which side you're on. Let's go to a caller in Illinois. Let's go to Antoine in Illinois. Antoine, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex. How are you? This is Antoine in Illinois. How are you, brother? How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Good to talk to you.
It is such a pleasure to finally connect with you, my friend. I would just want to start off by telling you I am so proud of what you and your organization have done. Years ago, when I was a college student at Northern Illinois University, some colleagues of mine, we did the same thing you did on the college level in the late 80s and the early 90s. And I wanted to know if you were familiar with a mentor of mine by the name of Stephen Coakley. He was a political activist, African-American from the Chicagoland area. He was well-renowned for teaching about the Illuminati, the Boule, FEMA, Rose Rockstar, the whole nine yards.
What was his name again?
His name is Stephen Coakley. Now, he's passed on now, but his name was
The name seems familiar. For people who know about the Boule, that's the African-American version of the Masons that they then kind of try to use to control people, right?
That's exactly right. Stephen Coakley was very known for that on the grassroots level, very popular. Again, he was my mentor, along with, I know you're pretty good friends with Brother Minister Louis Farrakhan, but I just wanted to see if you were familiar with him, because he was doing this before there was a Facebook, YouTube.
Yes, no, I remember the name, and as for Louis Farrakhan, he's a great brain, very, very smart person, and the media kind of takes out of context what he says, but I want to have peace. I want everybody to do great, and I think that Farrakhan does understand the larger picture. And I know he's been involved with Kanye West behind the scenes, the rest of it. I know Farrakhan told me point blank, and I said, is this off record? He said no, but he didn't say it on camera that he was he liked Trump. And I know he's been kind of back and forth trying to get his constituents to understand what's happening. But I think with his message saying Trump is destroying all our enemies a month ago, do you think people in the Nation of Islam got how far Farrakhan's going, trying to warn them of the battle we're in right now?
I do. I think it's going to take more teaching about that. One of the reasons why I was really glad to see Trump run for office, because he was trying to break the stranglehold that many of the politicians have had on this country for years, including Hillary.
Well, exactly. Trump is very, not simple in the word simple, but very straightforward. He wants prosperity for everybody. He does not look, he looks who a person is. Like Martin Luther King said, like, not the color of the skin, who they are. And Farrakhan looks right at me. And, you know, said, no, I think Trump overall is going to shake the system up, is going to win. And he said, and I think you know that. And he said, but, you know, and I said, listen, I don't have any real communication with Trump except every once in a while. But Farrakhan was pro-Trump when I met with him. Thank you, Antoine. We'll be back. There's an attempt to turn off the world economy.
Gentlemen, we have called you together to inform you that we are going to overthrow the United States government.
And you tried it.
A frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order.
But you failed.
It's Alex Jones.
You still think that jet fuel brought down the World Trade Center? Does anybody else see a problem here? If the government has nothing to hide, why are they so afraid to answer a few questions? This story does not add up.
Mueller and the Bushes and the Clintons thought they'd stage 9/11 with their Islamic buddies. And now you notice Trump played that card during the campaign. He played it back the week after the attack happened, saying he believed there were bombs in the buildings because his engineer that he hired built the World Trade Center. The architect that built it, a Japanese-American, said that it was blown up. And Trump's just sitting back. So he could play that card up front, but they'd say he's crazy. He's got to turn the economy around. He's got to unify people together. He's got to defeat the deep state, and then he's going to bring it out. But you notice when I came out last Monday and told you that Trump is looking to release the fact that Mueller covered up 9/11, which has already been documented, they've got a string of more than 30 senior FBI agents, current and retired, ready to expose how they were ordered to shut up by the Clintons, by the Bushes, and then by Mueller. Mueller. It's the Ace of Spades. Building 7, the FBI CIA headquarters blown up, the bombs in it, the witness protection programs. Oh, yeah. Barry Jennings all on. These guys are so cowards that they couldn't even imagine talking about this out loud. And the pedophile airplanes with Jeffrey Epstein and Mueller running it for the FBI. All of it's coming out. All of it. So good luck. Because no matter what you do, Mueller, no matter what Bill Clinton does, no matter what you do, it's all coming out now. You want to bang heads? You guys keep looking for a fight. You found one, didn't you? We're going to bang heads with you so hard, you're not going to even know what to do. If you want to bang heads with me, you came to the right spot. See, with me, it's not some macho thing. It's life and death. My soul hangs over the precipice of eternity. Maybe for what my ancestors did or what I did, whatever it is. I just know God wants me to take you down. All you narcissistic, mental patient, scumbag, deep state, white shoe boy, butt-smelling, Ivy League turds. All that matters is you burn in hell. So just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And just like Hitler in that bunker, as we close in on you, you're going to do the right thing, aren't you? I know you are. I want to go to Robert in Seattle and Dennis in Kentucky and Robert in Pennsylvania and Patrick in Indiana and George in Las Vegas and Alexander in Alpine, Illinois and Craig in Arizona and Tony in Texas and many others. Right now, let's go to Robert in Seattle, in a deep state stronghold of Jeff Bezos. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Alex, pleasure to speak with you. First, I'd like to say thank you for red-pilling me, opening my eyes to what's really going on. Second thing, I'm a white male. I work hard. I was raised by my grandparents. Taught me an honest day's work and the value of a dollar. I'm heading to Home Depot today to go work on my house because the economy is doing so well. I got a nice raise. I actually can afford to buy things now. And I live in the area with all these net jobs that walk around that, you know, have no idea what they're talking about. When you engage them in conversation, they go right to the attacks. And I feel like I walk around with a target on my back. I've actually wore a Trump shirt out one day, gotten several arguments. And it's mostly around the Seattle area. I haven't been to Portland. I want to go August 4th. I suggest you don't go because I think something would happen bad if you were seen on site. So for you, you stay back. You do
Well, I mean, let's be clear. Antifa is attacking people. I've been to Seattle because my wife wanted to go visit some family she has that lives there. And, like, I walk outside the first 10 minutes and people are attacking me. Now, let's be clear. I'd shake 10, 15 hands and have folks wave at me for every person that attacked me. But still, they are craved. And I've got a stack of news I haven't gotten to of all of just the attacks and all of it. But they are absolutely crazed, man. And they're pissed. They are fundamentally hate America. They'll tell you they hate America. And it's like, but you live here, morons.
All the antidepressants people are on, man, I got off of them. Some of your supplements kind of woke me up. You know, the iodine really helped. But it's just, you know, I questioned God a while back, and I realized that my job in life is to protect my family, protect my freedom, protect my right to do what I want to do without impeding on people. And that's what I do every day.
No, I agree.
Work hard.
I agree, but you mentioned how, like, St. John's wort, we don't even sell that, but we should, in major studies is like double better than Prozac. But the issue is, it doesn't have toxic effects, is that we have vitamin C deficiencies. We have iodine deficiencies. These cause our major issues. I mean, my God, I got on iodine 6 years ago. It made me a lazy ass. I used to swim and lift weights every day and was fat. I got on X2, and I mean, it's incredible. I like lost 30, 40 pounds. It always stayed off. My libido's better. It's like I'm 16 years old. But again, it's the iodine conspiracy. But let me tell you something. To be a man is to be expendable. And that doesn't mean you don't have worth. You have great worth. But men are expendable. And exactly what you said, the minute you realize being a man isn't about choosing the biggest gang or always being on the winning team, it's about doing what's right, being strong, and not caring what other weak people say, but following the compass God gave you. And so I know what it is to wear a Trump shirt or an InfoWars shirt outside. I know what it is in a blue state area to go through that. We have to do that and use those opportunities when they do it to videotape it, as we're doing, to just expose that these are authoritarians. Imagine if we give in to them now, how bad it'll be later. So that's men's job. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in a moment of comfort or convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Martin Luther King. And you look at Martin Luther King, he said, don't judge somebody on what color they are, what gender they are, what they do. Just like me, you got good food, I go to your restaurant. Got me good music, I listen to you. I don't care if you're black or white. Well, I listen to some song, whether it be hip-hop or country or blues, or I don't think, well, this is a black artist, let me click on that. Or this is a white artist, or this is a Hispanic artist, or I'm going to go see a Mexican director. They do have, like, some of the best directors. I just go, oh, that was a great movie. Who's the director? Oh, it's another Mexican. It's not like some cliche. It's with the patterns you notice in life. And so that's what I'm getting at here, is that we have free will and we're going to do it. God bless you, Robert, in Seattle. Keep it up. Dennis in Kentucky, where they just attacked the Senate Majority Leader last night, and so much more straight ahead on the other side of this break. But listen, no matter what happens, this life is only a test. Our relationship with God is numero uno. Just say this because it's important for people to know. It's not like InfoWars is that important or we're on a power trip. It's just important to metaphysically say it. Before I ever knew what I was doing, I got offered pretty big Hollywood roles. Like out of the gates, you know, 2-3 minutes talking major movies and paychecks and voiceover deals. I made $1 million. On a voiceover I did for a national insurance company through a union in a year. For like $900,000+. And you know what I did? I put it right in the general fund and built InfoWars. Not that money's bad, but I don't care about that. If I got a car that runs great, got medicine, got a house, that's why they want to keep you poor. They want to keep you down at a level where you never get to the realization is that it doesn't matter at a certain level. Like, most of the time I fly coach on a plane because what's the point of paying 3 times more? But I've been offered all these big Hollywood roles, and man, they got bigger. Ones I wouldn't sell out. Because I turned down $10 million a year in 2002. $10 million a year, no employees to me. Now, all these years later, we bring in way more than that, but pays for all the crew and all the satellites and the rest of it. But it's like Hollywood thinks it's God. It thinks you've got to go with it. And even the conservative end of Hollywood says, you know, I'm a $1 billion producer and these are nice people, but we want you to go make this movie and make this show. And it's like, I can't do that because every time I agree to it, it then has to go through this process of being watered down. What is important And I only make this point because I just got, you know, this phone call. In a big hot movie that's being produced, they wanted me in a major role, and I wouldn't do it. And then it was a smaller role, and then it was a cameo. It's nothing against the production. It's that, you understand, I can't refuse Hollywood and then not refuse a part of it. What is powerful, what is real, is directly talking to you, unscripted, live. This isn't an act. And that's the whole thing. Like, I remember growing up, my mom watching the Oscars thinking, boy, that's really cool. Those are really the cool people. And by college, they were like, mom, I go home, mom, you're watching the Oscars. They're a bunch of losers. And so it's just so liberating to not care about that. And then people can't believe. They just can't believe. Like, you don't want the History Channel show. You don't want the Discovery Channel show. You know, and I'm like, I already got two or three of them. They never even know I have two or three of each. I already did it. And not to sell out. I just was like, sure, I'll do your show. I'll host your show. And then they put it on. It's such a joke, man. It's like all these other talk show hosting people. Yeah, look at that shot of Hollywood people. Look at them. They're the actors. They're the candy ass. They want to be the big star on TV, like Meryl Streep promoting pedophilia. And like somebody like me has got to be, no, I don't want to be in that. And then it's always the pitch, like, we'll censor you if you don't. We'll come after you. No, I already got the message. But what hurts is friends I've had, in some cases 20 years, that were truthful. And when they get threatened, they roll over like a dead hog in the middle of a pool in summer. They just roll over. It's very, very sad. But I do, historically and metaphysically and ritually, reject Hollywood and reject everything associated with it. I will have nothing to do with it. Nothing. Nothing. Zero. Zero. Absolute total zero. You understand that? So it's like Fox News tried to give me three different TV shows. And then when I refused the third one after about 2 years, they had a big article in the New York Daily News. Back when I was like, you know, being attacked once a week in the news. Now it's like every 5 seconds. And it was like, Jones wanted a job at Fox News, but he got rejected. And again, it's not about me bragging, oh, I got offered a job at Fox News. It was like, I got offered a job drinking out of porta potties. And look, I'm glad Hannity's there. I'm glad Carlson's there. They're great people. I'm glad Lou Dobbs is there. I'm glad Laura Ingraham's there. I'm not saying Fox is bad, but the producers and the managers and the jerks, the types that fired Matt Drudge when he had the top-rated show there, they're the losers. And Matt Drudge doesn't need them. I don't need them. That's what I'm trying to say, is that I'm innately me. And I'll never forgive Fox News trying to give me three shows. And I was like, you're kidding. I get on a plane Friday night and I fly there and tape Saturday and air Sunday, where I moved to New York so I could, and I don't see my, like, oh, this is a big chance for you. And then they'd rape me. They would rape me and say that I wanted them. You know, it's like the ugly girl in high school that tries to get her brother to fight you. He's like, screw you, you're mean to my sister. And you kind of slam his head in the wall, and he goes, and the sister runs over and says, Bobby, he didn't really do it. I'm sorry. It's like, it's like Fox News, so I can sell catheter lines. I want to change history. I want to bust up the establishment. I want to change the world. I don't want to be in Hollywood movies. I don't want an HBO show. I don't want what you have. And I've told you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, I want to break your neck. I don't want to hang out with you soulless scumbags. Yeah, that's when they really went after when Media Matters figured it out. Because there's all these fake ratings out there. But listen, I'm going to stop right there and come back and take a few final calls. And I have it plugged in an hour and 40 minutes. I'm going to tell you this right now. Because here's the deal. They ask, why don't I plug every segment like other talk show hosts if we need to fund ourselves? Because it's boring. And if people are called to get our products that are excellent, just like our information, they're going to do it. But our July 4th specials... For July 4th, Second American Revolution Week, I've got to end the next few days. And it's 50% off a bunch of our best-selling items like Brain Force, Supermel Vitality, you name it. It's got 4.8 stars, power views, Brain Force. And we've got a whole big line of these babies there. And if you want to buy the products, you're going to do it. Knockout Sleep Support, $17.76. Silver Bullet, $9.95 with free shipping. Supermel Vitality. You know, my wife, I'll just be totally honest, she said, you know, Knockout's usually super strong. I've got to take two right now instead of one. We've got a big organic company. Every lot varies. Some are super strong, some aren't. This is real stuff here. Alexa Pure Breeze, air purifiers, $100 off, free shipping. That's a huge deal. Strobel Food has free shipping. It's all there, InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com. And the fluoride-free toothpaste, 4-5 with colloidal silver and iodine. It's 50% off right now. But here's the deal, man. If you don't want high-quality products, if you don't want to support this InfoWar, I'm not even worried about it. Because I'm lined up with God. And I'm not lined up with the Robert Mueller and the Jerry Epstein pedophile planes. Can you imagine being signed up to that? How Mueller used them to set up thousands of politicians raping little 9-10-year-old girls, and it's all admitted, and that big sack of crap thinks I'm afraid of him. All I want to do is bring him down.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
I'm looking at a story from worldnetdaily.com up on InfoWars.com. I read this earlier today. I meant to cover it today, but illegal alien find $280 for killing an FBI agent and fire marshal. And then you go, I looked at the police report. It's all true. And again, I don't care what color you are, whether you're black, white, brown, whatever. It's like illegal aliens. I had an illegal alien only like 20 miles an hour. It was like 16, 17 years ago in a Wendy's parking lot, hit my truck, crushed the side door in. And the cops go, oh, we can't get them. They don't have insurance. Just go. And my insurance charged me. And I don't care. The fact is, I'm a person, too. The illegal alien isn't allowed to just do this. But just like the illegal alien shot the young woman in the back, her dad held her, she died. And the San Francisco jury said, we're letting him go. He's an illegal alien. Then you ask yourselves, what paradigm is this? What world is this? The globalists have to, in Europe and the U.S., incentivize free housing, free welfare, no problem. Come here to bring the worst people. Not bring the good people from those countries, but bring the worst to destabilize. It's a military attack, and they admit it is. People go, what do you mean it's a military attack? A military attack means they're taking over. Not the people they're bringing in, but the big, powerful corporations manipulating it. They want to conquer you. It's the way of the world. There's always people that want to do that. And those of us that don't think like that are always blind to it. I'm not going to virtue signal here, but man, let me tell you something. I love people with brown skin. I find women with brown skin very attractive. The point is, it's all a fraud. We're all together. But you can't let Soros, a Nazi collaborator, blow up the whole country when he's done it to other nations and not recognize he's a bad person. Let's go to Dennis in Kentucky, where the Senate Majority Leader just got run out of another restaurant and harassed with his wife being called a Nazi when Mitch McConnell's been the open borders guy. Another thing is, it's like they go, we're going to kill Rand Paul. He supports Trump. And then he's the most anti-Trump guy when it comes to real issues. The only guy that brings up real issues on Trump. Because I'm anti-Trump on some issues. It's the ignorance, man. It's crazy. So let's go to Dennis. Go ahead, Dennis in Kentucky. Thanks for holding.
Thank you so much for having me, Mr. Jones. And it's a pleasure to actually speak with you for the first time in my life. I usually call in when Owen is on because I know that I can actually have a fair time. But I will say this. On your dilemma with Mr. Joe Rogan, you owe Joe Rogan nothing. Joe Rogan is a fence liner. He knows where his butter is bred. He's always been that way. He used to be a person that tried to get people to do anything for money. You remember Fear Factor? That's how Joe Rogan became a household name. It wasn't for anything else. Joe Rogan was the Fear Factor guy that tried to get you to eat Rocky Mountain oysters.
Well, it'd be like donkey balls.
Exactly. So for Joe Rogan to sit here and pretend, if you looked at his body language during that transmission you gave earlier, look how he always looked over to make sure that Jamie was giving him the yes or no nod. All you got to do is just look at body language. That's all I can say about Joe.
Well, here's the deal. Joe's my friend. I don't get in a fight with him. I just know that there's major web censorship going on. And then he continues to misrepresent what me and others are saying. And I just want Joe to realize, why isn't he on the winning team? We're going to win anyways.
He's on the wrong side of history. He knows it. But he is being forefronted as the face of YouTube. You got to realize that. Joe Rogan is the face of YouTube.
No, I totally. That's my beef. I said that earlier live thing I did before the show, is that he doesn't get censored. I've called up and asked for his help. Not for me, but for everybody. And then just no response. So all I know is he's got Joey Diaz on there, you know, acting like we're just saying all this stuff. I don't want to fight with him, but God, he just continues to misrepresent what we're saying.
Okay, because he actually knows who you are, but he knows that those people have their foot on his neck about what he can say, when he can say it, and how he chooses to say it. It's okay. Mr. Jones, you have been proven throughout your track record as an upstanding citizen and a patriot for this country. If anyone else has anything to say about it, all they have to do is come and debate you, right or wrong.
No, I agree. God bless you. I appreciate your call. I have a loyalty to old friends, and I like Joe, and I just... He's got Shapiro in there, and he's got all these other people, and it's just like saying Soros was a victim of the Nazis. He said he loved it, man. He loved rounding people up. And to me, that's what made me mad. But notice Joe in the new video doesn't defend Soros, so maybe that's a change. I don't want to get sideways with Joe. I don't know what to say, actually. I don't know what to say at this point. God bless you. I appreciate your call. We got a bunch of other callers here, and we got George in Las Vegas. No more Hillary. Let's go to George in Las Vegas and then Tony. George, you're on the air. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Jones. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just was watching here, and you announced that Hillary said she's going to be running again.
Well, she's told her constituents she is. It's in the New York Post and Drudge Report. But she clearly wants the money that she's running. So she's definitely already stealing the money for the run.
Right, right. It's just... You know, I was thinking this country has gotten almost tore apart by this last election, and it's like she's going to try to do it again and just finish the job.
Well, and that's the satanic arrogance. I mean, I know that for a fact she had a brain tumor removed 4 years ago. She's walking dead, but it just, she's not going to win. She's not going to run. You watch, she'll be in a hospital or, in my opinion, dead in a couple of years. But it just shows how the demon never stops. The zombie never stops.
Right. And, you know, I was just thinking, hopefully with all these charges and proof that we have on her and Bill and everybody else, maybe they'll take her away before anything else happens.
I know that Trump is playing 100% by the book. He's totally surrounded, but he's winning, and we're trying to turn the country around. But I just wish my average American knew how serious it was, because I don't owe allegiance to Trump. I owe allegiance to the truth, and it's very frustrating. God bless you, George. All right, we got Alexander, Craig, Tony. Got so many great callers. Tony in Texas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding. Hey, Tony. Tony's gone. Okay, let's go to Craig. Craig in Arizona, you're on the air. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Alex, how are you, sir?
I'm blessed, brother. I'm very humble by all you folks. I appreciate you.
I just want to take a quick moment to thank you and all the independent journalists of the world for standing up and holding the flag up at Fort McHenry and keeping our flag standing and keeping our flag going and saving the Republic, sir. Thank you.
Well, God bless you. No, it truly is a fight for the country. And it doesn't mean America's perfect. America's got a lot of problems, but it's based in Christianity. It's based in pro-human ideas. Not that we ever did that, but we believe in that, and that's why the enemy hates it. Like, look at how the evil globalists hate America. What does that tell you about America?
Well, in the words of George Washington, a true patriot would rather stand on his feet than die and then surrender on his knees.
God bless you. Thank you. All right, we'll go to Alpine, Illinois. Alpine, Illinois, and Alexander. Alexander, go ahead.
Hey, Alex Jones. Pleasure to speak to you.
Nice to talk to you, Alexander. Go ahead.
So I'm new into this politics game, and I just wonder if that 9/11 thing gets fully exposed, I feel like that would be the trigger for the Civil War. But at the same time, I'm wondering, will the left beat us by infesting us with third world population before, like, we get to that point?
Well, here's the deal. Justice be done, may the heavens fall. 9/11 was staged with globalists and radical Islam that has to be exposed to the deep state. The average third world population is a victim of globalism. Morally, in many cases, they are better than the average bull rotten American, be they black, white. It's just that they're being brainwashed as soon as they get here. So they're only used as a weapon, like a dam that breaks. If water's coming down your road to kill you, water's not bad. There's just too much of it. So African immigrants, Latin American immigrants, Eastern Europeans, they're not our problem, except they're being brainwashed against us when they're brought in. So they're only a weapon. Our bigger problem is the GMO, the vaccines, the globalists, their propaganda. If we get our country back, we can bring in 100 million, 200 million people. I don't care if they're black, Hispanic, white, whatever. As long as they get a shot at being pro-America and invited in, they get in and are turned against the country the minute they get here. So I just want them to, like, be shown like the different slideshow. Here's communism. Here's freedom. Which one do you want? You've got a birthright. America's already brown. America's already, Hispanics already have the population. They'll be 80% in 50 years. Will they reject it or will they accept Americana? I'll see you back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central.